Lord spoke to my heart, and I hope he'll use it to speak to yours. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. It goes with what I've been looking at and looking about this week. I don't know about you, but it amazed me this morning when you look at that. Is this thing on, Paul? Okay. That the difference that one little girl made in the life of that man, because she was just willing to tell him about God. And it made me come to understand, if we would just take the time to tell people the things that God shows us and does for us, the difference the church could make. But you know, statistics tell us that 97% of evangelical Christians will die having never led someone to the Lord. But even more hard to believe is that it's almost that same amount, 80-something percent estimated, of Christians who never have shared the gospel. Never took the word of God and took it and told someone how to be saved. And you know, I don't know about you, but I thank God that God put people in my life right from my birth into the church and into the kingdom that were soul winners, that taught me what God has given you, you need to go give away. And the more you'll give away, the more God will give you. But if you just come to church and it's all for you, comes a time where you're just sitting in the pew like an old sponge. You can't take no more in. And before long, you're sour. You don't get anything out of it. But I've come to find if you'll let God wring you out, you'll let God take what he puts in you, and you'll go give it away, he's got more to give. But if you're just coming for yourself, it gets old. You see, this verse right here teaches us a great truth. God expects us to witness. Did you hear that? It was his plan. As a matter of fact, a church that forfeits the responsibility to soul win, in my opinion, forfeits its right to exist. Because that's why we're here. If we don't witness, if we don't share God with others, we will cease to exist, I promise you. And listen to what Jesus says here in this one verse. He told his disciples, whatever I tell you in the dark, go and speak it in the light. And I like this. And what you hear in the ear, preach it on the housetops. The NIV, if you got an NIV, says, what I whisper in your ear, go and shout it from the housetops. And I don't know about you, I thank God for personal encounters with Jesus. How about you? I thank God for them Jesus-type moments when you don't even know how he did it, but you're just reading your quiet time like you do, or you're just somewhere and you hear a message, or you're listening to a song, and Jesus all of a sudden speaks to your heart. And he enlightens you and gives you a new nugget of wisdom, a new truth that helps you to be a better Christian and to know him more intimately. And it's a life-changing moment. You ever had those? I mean, sometimes when you go to church, you just went to church expecting it's going to be church. But when you left, something happened. God showed up. You ever had that happen? I wish it happened every Sunday. But I just thank God it does happen. Amen. And when it happens, you shouldn't just say, oh, what a wonderful experience, and keep it to yourself. You should give it away. Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the dark, go and speak it in the light everywhere. What I tell you in private, what I tell you by yourself, he said, when I whisper in your ear, go and tell it to the housetops. You see, that little lady, she knew God. She knew his prophet, Elijah. She knew what Elisha had done, and she knew what he could do. And think about this. Here she is in a foreign land with a foreign family. She's been taken from her home. She's in a very uncomfortable place. But she loved God so much, apparently, she knew, so she couldn't help herself. She even told him. And you know what amazes me? Sometimes we don't even tell our friends. We don't even tell our family, much less an old wicked king who took you to his foreign land and brought you into captivity. If she was witness willing to tell God about her enemy, certainly we should be willing to tell our neighbor, our fellow American, about Jesus. You know what the Bible says? David said in Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, and I will tell of all your marvelous works. Listen what David said. He said, I'm going to praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Not part of my heart, not just a little bit. All of my heart is going to praise you, God. That means I'm not just going to praise you on Sunday morning when everybody's expected to praise you. I'm going to praise you on Monday. I'm not just going to praise you on Friday when I get paid. I'm going to praise you on Monday because I got a job to go to. Amen? I'm not just going to praise you when everything's going wonderful. I'm going to praise you no matter what with all of my heart. Because he says, I'm going to let people know and tell people about your wondrous works. You see, I think once you begin to understand God and experience God, that's the heart that he wants every one of us to have. A heart that praises him with his whole heart. Listen what else David said. He said, oh God, that I may proclaim you with the voice of thanksgiving. You see, if you'll look around at your life and the way it used to be without God and the way it now is with God, you'll find something to thank him for. Amen. And if you just take time to think about what it would be like without God, I might be in the valley. I might be in a trial. Tribulation might have come. But praise God, it didn't come to get me by myself. I got Jesus with me. And in the midst of my problems, I got God. And you can find a way to thank him. You see, people who have a whole heart that is determined to praise God, who have a mouth that wants to proclaim and with thanksgiving toward him, is a mouth and a life that others will hear and listen to. But when we walk around, and I call them chicken little Christians, and it's, woe is me, the sky is falling. Oh, poor pitiful me. Oh, Lord, it's the end of the world. I ain't got no health care. I don't have, you know what? Man, if you think like that, do you think anyone's going to hear about your story? Do you think they're going to believe in a God that you wants to talk? You see, we have to look like we know a God that's made a difference. That little girl was in a bad situation, but her witness was enough to influence that wife to tell her husband, that husband to tell his king, and his king to provide all the means to get him to Elijah so that he could experience that miracle. You know what? There are miracles that could happen all around if we would be more vocal and we would be more about telling people what God has done for us. There's enough things that he's done for us in this room that if we got to telling people and we got to quit looking, listen what else David said. He said, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I know not their limits. Right. Think you got to know everything to be ever a witness? David said, I don't even know the limits of your salvation, but I'm going to tell people about it. I might not understand it. I might not know all that it has to offer, but I know one thing. It came to me one day. And I was lost, and now I'm found, and God's in our life. And we are here. He saved us to become his people so that we can be his witness. Listen to what 1 Peter 2:9 says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that you can come to church, sit in the pew, and say, good sermon, Brother Marvin. Do y'all think that's what that verse says, Justice? You know what that verse says? It says, we are his own special people, his peculiar people, the King James says, that you may proclaim the praises of him. The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd been in darkness for all my life and all of a sudden I saw the light, I think I'd be telling folks, oh man, I had never seen all this. Man, I didn't know all this existed. I didn't know Jesus could do all this. I was in the dark, but now he done turned on the switch. Woo, let me tell you about it, brother. Man, I'd be at work. I don't know about you, but when I see my brother struggling and he was in the dark, I'd come let him know about the light. How about you? If God blessed us with the greatest gift that anyone can receive, forgiveness of your sin and eternal life, why is it that we don't tell more people about it? You know, if someone blessed you with a, let's just say this, Kevin. If someone gave you a brand new 2018, what kind of truck you like? You a Ford man? Chevy man? Chevy. Z71? Four-wheel drive, tricked out. I mean, the works. Would you go tell everybody, look what so-and-so gave me? You'd be going everywhere. Look at here, boy. Look what they gave me. You know what? God gave you something much more valuable than that truck. Right. And you know what? We'd go tell everybody about this truck that's going to run out of gas, break down. One day you can't take it with you anyway. But salvation, a relationship with God, Man, we ought to not be able to shut up. We ought to be able to tell everybody. But you know what? We have just got used to being in church and going to church and not realizing that what brings us joy, what God uses to bring us satisfaction, fulfillment, is Him. And not just knowing we know Him, but talking about Him and sharing Him. I don't know about you, but it feels good to tell someone that when you've been blessed. And if I got a truck, I'd tell everybody about that truck. I'm here to tell you. But you know what? I got something, and I don't know about you, but I don't do it as much as I often, but I thank God that I love to tell people about Jesus. Can you really say that? You know that song? This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We sing that, but is that a reality? Because I want to show you another example in the New Testament tonight that a little lady, just like one of us, brought revival to her whole community. Community named Samaria. Didn't we read about Samaria this morning? That's where Elijah was from. That's where Naaman was delivered from his leprosy. But it's also, if you turn with me tonight to the Gospel of John chapter 4, where a lady met Jesus at a well. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And y'all know the story. I'm just going to kind of give you Brother Marvin's paraphrase version up to where I want to preach. But Jesus told his men, come on, we must go to Samaria. We must go through it. A place where Jews didn't regularly go. A place where Jews dodged, to tell you the truth. But Jesus said, we must go there. Because Jesus had an appointment that was divinely set. And he met this woman at the well, and y'all know about her. She was not a woman that you would expect to be used to evangelize her community. Because Jesus, when he began to talk to her, and they began to talk about God and share, and he began to express to her her need, not only for that physical water, but for the living water. And that he was the only one that could give it. She started trying to change the subject. Remember, well, they say that the Jews worship on this mountain and we worship on that mountain. Where do you say we worship? Jesus says, well, he said, the Father is seeking worshipers that worship him in spirit and truth. But Jesus brought it back home. He says, but you know what? He said, it's not about worship and religion. It's about you and God. And he starts to talk to her. And he brings up the fact that she'd been married 5 times and the man she was with now is not even her, not even married to him. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus knew that. That had to blow her mind. But she also, you would have had to understand, knew that everybody in her town knew it also. And what's amazing to me, this lady whose life is not exemplified and been the life that we would all choose and want, meets Jesus at this well, and she comes to understand that he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that she's been hearing about all her life that will save her. And listen what happens in verse 25 of chapter 4. The woman said to Jesus, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Now, ain't it wonderful that Jesus can tell us all things? And when Jesus, what did we just say? He said, when I tell it to you in the dark, you go tell it to it in the light. He says, when I whisper it in your ear, you go shout it from the housetop. Well, she's just heard something that all her life she's been hearing about the Messiah. And listen to what happens in verse 27. At this point, his disciples come back and they begin to distract Jesus away from her. She went there to get water. But when she met Jesus, she forgot about that physical need. Look at verse 28. The woman left her water pot. Uh-oh, she came to get water. She ain't needing water now. She left the water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come and see who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and they came to him. She went back, and what she told them, and her attitude, the passion in her witness, was to the point, she said, come and see, I met a guy that knew everything about me. He says he's the Messiah. And listen to what happens. In the meantime, his disciples is urging Jesus to eat. Jesus said, I got food to eat, which is, you do not know. And Jesus says, my food is to do my Father's will. And he begins to talk about soul winning. He begins to tell them, look, if you look right down there with me, listen to what he says in verse 36. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may reap together. He says, for in this saying it is true, one sows and another reaps. When we all go out sharing and telling the wondrous works of God and telling what we know and what God has revealed to us, we plant, we sow, and sooner or later we reap. But if we don't go tell, if we're not planting, then you're wasting your time expecting and waiting on a harvest. It'd be nothing more foolish than a farmer to disc his field and work the soil and never plant nothing and sit there and expect a crop. You got to plant. And Jesus said, I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And as he's saying this, the verse right above that, Jesus says, look, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white with harvest. When Jesus began to tell them to do that, look what was coming toward them in verse 39. Now, I want you to remember, when they showed up, his disciples, who he told to go, and what I whisper to you in your ear, go and shout from the housetops. What I tell you in the dark, you go and speak it in the light. Now, here they are. He's been teaching them to witness. Here it is, a woman who's lost, who's a poor Samaritan woman at the well. They show up. They didn't ask nothing about her. They said, what's he doing talking to a Samaritan? He ain't supposed to be doing that. He ain't supposed to be talking to them kind of people. What's the preacher hanging out with them kind of folks for? Don't he know what they act like and do? He ought not be going nowhere with them. He ought to be hanging out with us good church folks. Amen? But Jesus said, no. And then they try to feed him. Jesus said, no, I got something more important than food. And he says, look, boys, the fields are white for harvest. Well, that little lady had just left. In verse 39, she's on her way back. She ain't coming to get her water pot. She's coming with people who she's went and told about Jesus, who she's just met at the well. One encounter at the well, and she goes back to Samaria. And look at verse 39 with me. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything I ever did. Man, you don't have to go to church for 20 years to be an evangelist. You'll tell people about Jesus and bring them back to Christ. All you got to do is have an encounter with him and tell them what happened. You know, the amazing thing to me, the Bible is clear. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And if that power has come into your life and you heard the gospel and you understood it and you received it, friends, that's all you got to know to go tell somebody. All I know is Jesus died for me. And they buried him and he rose again and he's alive. And I trusted him. His death paid the price I couldn't pay. Now his life is in me. And I want to tell you what, Jesus has always helped me. He'll help you. Come to church with me. Come back and let me do. This lady went back. She hadn't been in Sunday school for a year. She had met Jesus and went back. And something about her, I don't know what it was. All I can tell you is that's what Jesus must do. But she was so consumed with this meeting with Christ at this well that she was able to bring back many of the Samaritans. Look at verse 40, what it says. So when the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And listen, revival shows up, and many more believed because of his own word. You know what? If we would start taking what we get here and bringing it out there, and telling everything about it. You know, BLAST is a wonderful opportunity that God's given our church. Building lives around sound truth. And we're going to win kids. But guess what? Kids ain't going to come just because we're doing this. You got to go tell them about it. You got to go share. Man, we got something going on in our church. Change your kid's life. You think your kid's bad? You think he don't care? Bring him up here and let Jesus get hold. Sit the cord on him. Bring him to church. We'll love him. We'll teach him. We got something called BLAST. And it ain't a drink down at Sonic. It's the Lord. And when you tell them, the Lord has made a difference in our family. The Lord's made a difference in our marriage. The Lord's made a difference in my life. I met Jesus and I can't get over it. Guys, listen, that's what makes people want to come back. This lady went and she was so excited about what had happened, that when she went, she brought the whole town back, and many more believed because of him. Look at verse 42. This is unbelievable. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have now heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." You know what? You might not be able to go and tell exactly what I say or exactly what the Bible says, but if you just get them into the Bible, if you just get them interested enough to get them into church, God will meet them from there. But we got to understand something, folks. We have been called as the people of God to represent him. We are his ambassadors. And we are to be used by God to help people be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, his son, and through us, his church. He's reconciling the whole world to himself through Jesus. And if it wasn't for other Christians, you would still be lost. Christ saved you, but he did it through his people. And I thank God for people like Jerry Lawler, Dusty McLemore, my mama that told me and shared with me and never quit telling me about Jesus. I had an old aunt, my daddy's sister. She's passed on way before God began to get on to me and get a hold of me. She'd write me these cards, and I could represent them. They were this big, and they were old timey. Had roses all over them and stuff. Looked like some kind of religious card they brought over on the Mayflower or something. And I could look at it and say, "That's my Aunt Alice." And man, I'd read that thing, it made me feel so bad. Because she'd just tell me, "Boy, Orvin, you need Jesus. Jesus loves you." Man, I'd throw that card away, but that card, I couldn't get rid of it. See, that's what happens when you're telling people about Jesus. Jesus is bigger than our words. But as big as he is, he will never, ever change the world unless we go out and tell what he's whispered in our ear. What he showed us in the dark, we got to tell it in the light. You know what we learned here in our little safe zone, in our little sanctuary? It does the world no good unless you'll go out there on the front lines of hell and tell it at work. Tell it at school. It's easy to talk Jesus in here. But it's hard to talk to that old neighbor who don't love the things of God. But he's the one who needs to hear it the most. And when we shout it from the housetop, sooner or later they hear and they come. God's got people all over this community that he's wanting to reach, that he's already working. People's already sowed in. People's already been working in their lives. And who knows, you might just be one of those that's continuing to sow. You might be one of those who's continuing to work the dirt, to nurture. But sooner or later, if you keep telling, you might be the one who gets to reap from another's labors. That's what he said. He said, "The fields are white for harvest." Now, I don't believe this mess that people are resistant to the gospel today. People just aren't interested in God. People are interested in God. But we got to make him interesting. And when we are bored with God, they're going to be bored with God. And man, there's too many churches where when the preacher's preaching, they... when we're singing, they just stand and waiting for it to end. Friend, when we stand, regardless of what we sing, if it's about God, we ought to be singing with all our hearts. Whether that preacher's preaching, whether he's your style of preacher, whether he's charismatic, excited, jumps all around, looks like he's fighting bees, or he's so boring he's just standing there reading it off the paper. If he's talking about Jesus, you ought to be listening with all your heart. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful that I'm in a place where I can hear from Jesus. And then you ought to take everything he gives you and go give it to others who aren't here. Because we're here by his grace. I don't know about you, but I want to be that type of Christian that when God looks at me, he'll say, "Boy, he was a soul winner. He went and told people about me." You see, we should be more concerned with reaching the lost. But more of us are more concerned with pampering the saved. Did you hear what I said? Too many of our churches are more concerned with pampering the saved and placating them and trying to make them happy than the lost and dying world out there that's going to hell. And you can spend all your effort and all of our resources trying to pamper and placate and make church folks happy, and you'll go to heaven, but you'll go miserable because you can't make them happy. But boy, if you spend your time winning people to Jesus and going out telling people about his wondrous works and praising him and letting your whole heart just go out and tell, you'll be a happy, successful, and blessed Christian. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, there's only two kinds of Christians in the church. Soul winners and backsliders. Did you catch that? Soul winners and backsliders. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he's told us to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells us, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness. In Jerusalem, Bethany, in all the outlying areas, he said, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What that's telling me? That we're going to be his witness in Bethany, Panola County, Caddo Parish, Louisiana, Texas, United States, and all the ends of the earth when we let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do with our life. If the Holy Spirit's in control of your life, you're going to find yourself talking about Jesus. You're going to find yourself telling people about what he's done for you. And when you let him do that, he's going to bless you. He's going to use you. And you're going to be a blessing to others. Look at that. That's revival in a place called Samaria. Jesus shows up at one little place at a well. You know what? In the eyes of Jesus, in the sovereignty, in the providential knowledge of God, that stop at that well, if you're careful, not careful, I mean, you think it's all about that one lady. And don't think Jesus wouldn't have went to Samaria out of his way just for that one lady. But that encounter was for more than that one lady. That encounter was for that whole lady's community. And because that one lady obeyed and did what she should have did with what God gave to her, and she went and gave it away, they all came. And then they heard, and then they believed. And many people believed in Jesus, which means many people were saved. And the whole community of Samaria. Just think of every one of us here, left here so excited tonight that we just started driving people crazy talking about Jesus. They'd say, boy, that's a bunch of Jesus freaks down there at Bethany. Do you know what a Jesus freak is? Best definition I ever had. A Jesus freak is somebody that loves Jesus more than you.
That's right.
And I'm glad for Jesus freaks. How about you? I'm glad when I run into somebody that loves Jesus more than me, because it helps me to realize that I can do better. I want to encourage you. We got good things going at Bethany. Certainly, we got stuff to go tell people about. But don't go tell them about Bethany or Brother Marvin or a class or a program. Remember, go tell them about Jesus, because it's all him and it's for him and it's because of him that we are here. And boy, when we make him the emphasis and give him the preeminence, he comes and shows out. Amen? Man, it's worth. You know what? You ain't working with Richard just to go help Richard and make money. There's somebody down there who needs to know Jesus. Needs to hear. You're going to run into a man somewhere. I don't know where you're going to school, Anna. You think that's a Christian school? But there's a lot of them need to see what a real Christian looks like. They need to know Jesus. I don't know where you work. I don't know what your week this week consists of. I don't know where God has placed you. But he didn't place you there just to be there for money or for whatever means you might. He's got you there primarily to represent him, to be his witness. And when we remember that and we do that, we'll see people coming from all over Bethany because of our witness. But when they come and they meet Jesus, they'll say, we came because of you. We came because of what you were saying, but now we're coming because of him. Because now we know him. That's what it's all about. Amen? And it all starts with what Jesus said in that one verse. What I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light. What I whisper in your ear, shout it from the housetop. Don't keep it to yourself. Give it away. And God will bless you. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray and we're going to be dismissed. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight that we could gather in this place. We could be encouraged. I thank you for the power of the gospel, that it still changes lives, that it has the power to change sinners into saints, and that when we'll just share the good news of Jesus with people in need, people who are in need of a miracle can experience the miracle that we've experienced. and that's knowing you personally and having you in our life. Father, I pray you'd bless us, anoint us, send us out, Father, and may we shout it from the highest housetops, the good things that you've done for us and who you are and how great you are. Father, help us to go out and be a witness this week in Jesus' name. Amen.